This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is a Monday and December is rolling on. Yeah, good morning. What are we doing? What are we doing today?
Radio.
What's on the agenda?
Talking.
Okay, talking.
Living, figuring our week out.
Yeah, Ben says people already don't give a shit when it comes to work this week. They're just not interested.
I got a bit of a sense of that starting last week.
I left home at the usual time this morning.
Uh-huh.
Instead of what happens in the year where sometimes there's an accident and you slow down and you get here like 10 minutes later than usual, I got here like 15 minutes early. I was sitting in my office and Leanne said, "Have you been here since 3 a.m?" And I said, "No."
Do you have problems at home?
I know. It's phenomenal. So I like it. I love this time of year and I love not having to go anywhere.
Also, like, some of the biggest hangovers you've ever had are like these 2 weeks, because office parties, people are just like, they just give it everything.
Oh, wow. Totally.
Give it everything.
And also, it feels like once you've had the office party, you don't really have to deliver anymore.
Yeah,
everyone
no one's going to fire you at that stage.
Oh, my God. I had such a packed weekend. Oh, wow.
What did you do?
Oh, lots.
Or more like, what didn't you do?
Lots. Like 2, 3 a.m. ones.
Oh,
Friday and Saturday. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's why I look like I do this morning, don't you?
He says with guilt in his eyes.
Oh. No guilt. There are no such things as regrets in my universe. Mm. Had a great weekend. But the highlight was probably Saturday. We did our Christmas carols at home, which is always lovely. And then after that, I came through to Soiree, which is what the old Movida is now called.
Yes.
And they had the 11th Clifton Beach Party, which is actually... This guy called Cliffy. It's not me. It's some other dude called Cliffy. And everybody always goes, "Oh, happy birthday. I thought your birthday was in August." And I go, "It is. It's not my birthday. It was this other guy whose name is Cliffy."
Okay.
And incredibly enough, Cliffy's hairstyle has stayed exactly the same, strand for strand.
Since the 70s.
And also, I was going to say 11 years, but yes, since the 70s.
And he's still sustaining that party lifestyle?
Oh, hell yes. The guy, I don't know how old Cliffy is now, 50-something. But he's having the time of his life.
What does he do? How did he get his name out? He was just a regular partier.
He's a party animal. He just loves parties. And he has this one big beach party every year. And everybody comes there in bikinis and like beach wear.
In the middle of Johannesburg.
The middle of Johannesburg. Okay. And it's just great. And there are girls on the stage in bikinis in this little inflatable pool. It's cute. It's very cute, like splashing each other and throwing a ball up in the air.
Oh,
gee, I'd love that.
You would, huh?
Yeah.
I know you would, yeah.
It's just up my street.
Couldn't think of anything better.
I got very little sleep, but had a great weekend.
Mm.
So I'm feeling like this week might go a bit slowly for me on the basis of what Ben said earlier, not office parties, but in this case, almost like a self-imposed need to... be a little more social and do interesting things.
I signed up a new client signed us up.
Wow, this week? Last week?
Yeah, pretty much recently. And
nobody's doing anything. Well done.
We're on probation for 3 months, starting the 1st of January.
What does that mean? I always find that phrasing just so negative.
Like, I know, it's like right from the outset. You don't trust
word,
us.
Probation.
Yeah, but you know.
That's what you say to prisoners.
Trial run.
Yeah,
We're on a trial contract.
But from the 1st of January.
Oh, no.
So I've got to be full steam in that week.
God. Ugh.
Before the 1st of Jan. Bad, bad, bad timing.
That's terrible.
And they only pay us 2 months later.
Sounds like a horrible client.
Yeah,
if I were you, I'd fire them.
What are you getting out of this deal?
Oh, gosh.
Are they worth it? Worth
yeah.
all the hassle? Okay.
Definitely.
Anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, poor Leanne is not going to have a great weekend. I mean, a great holiday.
Yeah, unless I start now, perhaps. Maybe
well,
I should do that.
The 1st of Jan is like the Monday of all Mondays, so I'm sure you're actually over the moon for this.
The Mondayest Monday is Monday.
But the 1st of January is a public holiday anyway. And who is in the office on the 1st of January?
Maybe this company specializes in public holidays.
What sadomasochist is in the office on a Monday, the 1st of January?
It's got to do with my role. And remember, social media never sleeps.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Mm.
Not comforting, but okay.
Yeah, okay. I see. Poor Leanne.
Shame.
How was your weekend, Sia?
Oh, I had such a great weekend, and I think this sets the tone of how I want my festive season to be. I plonked myself at home and had a revolving door of guests coming in.
Nice.
And that's the way to go, because I was just able
I
to
chill.
I saw
you have discovered the joys of smoothies.
Ooh.
With alcohol in them. Sia has discovered...
Kind of against the point, but carry on.
Guys, I have this ingenious recipe. Because I was just looking at my fridge over the weekend. I was like, I have this and that, and what can I do for guests? And I thought, well, I have these frozen berries, and I have this blender that I bought once that I never used. So I thought, okay, well, I can make something out of frozen berries, right? And I can just...
And a half a bottle of vodka.
And then I realized, because a few weeks ago I told you, I don't want to have things just laying around anymore, like waiting to drink this on a particular day or waiting for a special moment. So I was like, screw it, I'm using everything. And I have 3 full bottles of vodka that I just never drink at home. And I thought, frozen berries and vodka, why not?
Time for those to go down the hatch.
Did you have to put in a bit of sugar, though?
No.
Was it fine? Because usually they're so, so bitter.
It was frozen berries, 3 different vodkas, some ice, and 2 different juices. Ooh, that went down so well.
Why did you mix all the vodkas together? Or did you need to make so much quantity that...
No, I don't know. It was just the fun of it all. All I know is by...
It was basically a trough. There was a trough of vodka and berries.
You created a trough of... you just created like a slurpee of ingredients.
I think we drank this probably at about 2 p.m. by 5. Everyone was just down for the count. And I had more guests on Sunday. And once again, it was a hit. And so
you have to go out and buy more vodka.
Oh yeah. Yes. But now that's my go-to drink. But part of the things that I did over the weekend was having my sister over just to finalize conversations we've been having over the past weeks about, you know, she now has a new daughter, my new niece, and we had to have these serious conversations of dependence and her rewriting her will and, you know, what goes where and who's in charge of her kids and what payout happens when if she were to die.
You mean like policies?
Yes.
Now,
you guys have siblings, and as much as we might not have kids, have you ever had these conversations with your siblings?
Oh yeah. We have like a family, I don't know, what do you call them, brokers or people who write your will, an attorney or whatever. And I remember at the time I did have some money put away. Not anymore. I did have some money put away, and he asked what should happen with it. You know, should I go? And I jokingly said, you know, just give it to animal charities, because I don't have children. And my brother piped up and said, over my dead body. And then the attorney said, well, actually, it would be over your dead body, because if you died, that's where it would go.
But
I mean, when you don't have dependents, it can actually be quite stressful. And it makes you reevaluate your life and you think, but why am I working this hard?
I don't think it's as stressful as people who have dependents.
You don't?
With all the love in the world. No,
just
I mean,
it's word dependence.
Yeah, it's not as serious. Like, so what? If you did leave all your money to an animal charity, so what?
It's true.
You know, if you had a child and you decided to leave all your money to an animal charity, that would be like dereliction of duty.
Yes, yes. But to me, when I think about it, I don't have anything to leave behind except for my investments. But for my sister, who was asking me to, I already am the executor of her estate as it stood with my nephew.
Right.
But I'm not the, what's the term? I'm not the one who's inclined to raise my nephew, should she pass away.
Right, okay,
so I have power to execute a will to say, you know what, my nephew can live with my parents and this is how much he'll get and this is how much should be paid
out. But you won't actually be the guardian.
No, not the guardian. There we go. But with my niece, she now wants to reevaluate everything, and I had to have that horrible conversation of going, actually,
I don't want to look after
I don't. And then we had to go down the line, and now it's politics of like, well, why isn't my mother her first choice? And my mother was getting all angry at that. And then it's like,
boy,
why isn't my other sister the first choice? And it's like, well, you trust the loose cannons here to look after your kids. So it's just fascinating.
I've often thought about it, though. I mean, like, what do you do if you don't have kids? and let's say you outlast your siblings.
Mm.
What are you going to do then?
Exactly. If you this don't is have, what's worrying me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what a worry to have, right?
Well, at the moment, it's more of a, oh dear, what sort of burden would I be leaving behind?
Well,
some financial burden for everyone else. Mm. But when the tide turns and you do have some money. Yeah, but the one thing this attorney said to us, and it's so true, is you don't rule from the grave.
Yeah, you can't. You're not
don't get
to.
so pedantic and nitty.
No, you're not there.
Nitty gritty. Just give it to someone to handle. Someone who's there.
You're not there. Nobody's ever come back from the dead and gone, ah, damn it, you didn't do that properly. Mm. I'm here to curse you forevermore.
I said this ring should go to that person.
Yeah, come on, just get on with it. I've got a will, but I just drew it up myself.
Mm.
I said to my sister, "You just handle everything."
Who are your nephew's guardian?
Yeah. So what is that? If something happens to my brother and his wife, I suppose I'll have to look after the kids.
Ooh. But yeah, do you have that in writing though?
Well, yeah, it would be. We'd share it between me and my sister, I suppose.
Mm.
No, it's not in writing, but it's kind of an agreement
that your brother's made with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. If it's not in writing, I could probably wiggle out of it, right?
That's it. Don't put it in writing.
Well, I'm putting it in audio writing right here.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Ben. Yeah, all right.
Got
thanks.
You back here, Gareth.
Yeah, all right.
You really do think about it, kids. How unfortunate it would be to lose a loved one or sibling, but B, how much your life could potentially change. And that's the conversation I had to get into with my sister. If you deem it selfish, so be it. But she could die today, you know. And yeah, I'm 20.
So could you.
I'm 23 years old, and I'm trying to figure my life out. And then
you 23?
Yes. And then from today, I now have the responsibility of two kids. I'm like, no, I actually can't do that because there's a lot that goes into you.
Mm-hmm.
Your life would change completely.
And then you get the living will, which is a whole nother story. And that's what to do if you are alive but on machines, etc.
Oh. Why are we talking about this stuff?
I know.
I don't
on
know.
A Monday morning, guys. How did we,
I don't think you had enough vodka over the weekend. That's the problem.
There's still some more.
Well, let's say your weekend was very balanced between the wills and the lots of vodka.
Yes. Healthy.
All right. I got a couple of emails here from Mike and from Gerrit. Who do you want to hear from first?
Gerrit. Just because
okay.
I wanted to say it.
Did you also need to clear your throat?
All right, there you have it. Dear Gareth, firstly, thank you so much for the great show. I've been listening since day one. Continue to preach a good word about your enticing show. Jordan Peterson was on Rogan earlier this week, and he spoke about the pressure that the traditional media is currently under. Crucial point he makes is that traditional media is having to make things more contentious than they are because they're under assault by the up-and-coming media forums like you. As their financial modes deteriorate and their journalistic standards deteriorate, they concentrate more and more on the extremes to grab attention. Most relatively intelligent people from the silent majority have understood that things are not as polarized as they seem. I truly believe you're making a difference. Keep up the good fight. Kind regards, Gerrit. Isn't that nice?
Mm, that is.
So true as well. When you think of all the different sort of salacious headlines that clickbaiting is around. There was something that happened recently around, it was a sporting thing. Man City had two young players you'd never heard of. One's black, one's white. Mm-hmm. And they both bought houses for their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely gesture, right?
Right.
So the Daily Mail reports the story in two ways. For the black guy, this is the headline, young Man City footballer 20, who's on £25,000 a week, splashes out on mansion for 2.5, despite never starting a Premier League match.
Hmm.
For the white guy, headline is, Man City starlet Phil Foden buys new $2 million home from his mum.
So they're both horrible. I mean, they're both written up very differently. So they're obviously just mean about the black guy.
But it's like,
I don't understand.
Why would you have such a malicious agenda unless you really are trying to get attention?
Well, you see, this is the point. Right? Like, obviously, I haven't heard Peterson on Rogan this time, but yeah, it is. It's true. The traditional media are losing their footing. They don't have the audiences that they once had. And smart people, it's been proven already that smart people are moving away from mainstream media faster than you can imagine. So it's going to be, the only people you'll have left over there are adults and idiots, right?
It's a bit like a news agent. You imagine if like CNA sort of having like dogfighting in the back or like strippers at the till and stuff.
Right.
It's a dead kind of thing.
Dogfighting in the back.
But they need to try and like really entice you and get you like, for better or for worse, to get you in there. Like, we've still got magazines and pens.
You see, they need the numbers. Like, I've never... The point with CliffCentral.com is that when we started this, I knew that I was not going to have the size of audience that I had on traditional radio or television. And that was kind of one of the reasons I wanted to do it, because I'd been there and done that. Mm. But also because the quality of the audience here is so much better. I get intelligent emails from people every single day. On radio, every second call would be a moron.
Oh, Gareth, liquor show, eh?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, you're funnier.
Can you remember I say hi to my mom?
And they're still there. If you listen to radio, you'll hear they're still there, these idiots.
Can I say hi to my mom?
Who do you want to send a shout out to?
Yeah, did you remember that shit?
Yeah, I'll be quick. It's my cousin's birthday.
Let's break that one down for a second.
Oh, God.
Someone calls into a show that everyone, let's say 100,000 people are listening to, and they make it all about them choosing a song for their wife or their cousin. And they think everyone else has to suffer through this shit.
Firstly, okay, well, now you're requesting a song.
It's ridiculous.
You can just play it off of YouTube, it's called.
I've got Apple Music. I can go on there. I showed my mother over the weekend because she doesn't know about Apple Music. I said, you can have any song you want.
You don't have to phone the radio station to request it.
She said, any song? She couldn't believe it. She said, any song I want?
Blown.
She said, yeah, I can't believe this. I said, yeah, any song you want. She said, but that must cost so much money. I said, no, 60 rand a month. She went, no. Yeah. Now you don't have to burden every... And they still do it on radio.
Yeah, they do. Like,
we still have a playlist.
And then, like I heard the other day, the DJ says, oh, we didn't get in time to to play Cheryl's request. But Cheryl, listen out again tomorrow because that's when we'll play it.
Cheryl's
going to wait for 24 hours before she can hear this
Cheryl is
song.
Cheryl's a fucking moron.
Cheryl
she will be.
Wait.
What an income.
Oh my God, they're going to play my song.
Yes. And she's going to tell all her friends.
Cheryl's now cancelled meetings. Yeah. It's like, I can't make it out of office for that hour.
My request is coming through tomorrow.
Total eclipse of the heart's going to sound better than ever.
And the DJ's probably a total bastard, so he'll make it at the end of the show so he can get Cheryl to listen to the whole show just in case she's filling in a ratings diary.
Oh, no. Who do you want to send a shout out to? Like the man sitting next to his wife. To my wife.
They need the numbers, right? So this is the point I was trying to make. They need a huge number of people listening, because what they do is they sell that to advertisers. They say, we've got this many people listening. And by the way, they have no idea how many people are listening. There is no radio station in the world that can accurately measure its listenership. None. What they have to do is get people to fill out these surveys, these random surveys, and send them in. And then they go, we've got 6 million listeners. No, you don't. You don't even know. You probably got 10 right now, but you don't know. You could have 100,000 this afternoon at 3:15, but right now you might have 5. There's no way you can measure. So they have to have those numbers, otherwise advertisers are going to go, well, what the hell must we pay for?
Yeah.
You know, we could, now these days most advertisers go, well, we could just put our stuff up on Facebook. Or on Instagram, or on Snapchat, or on Twitter, or on podcasts. And then they don't have to worry about that. But it must put them under such pressure. And this is maybe what they were getting at, is that, you know, that's why you see Fox News leaning more right than ever. You see MSNBC leaning more left than ever. You see these publications that otherwise would have been very serious publications, suddenly printing stories about girl with big booty smashes toilet.
Yeah.
You know?
Man blows lottery winnings.
Yeah, right, exactly. What the hell, Siri?
She's asking if you want big booty slash.
Yes, again. Amazing that that's what she responds to.
Clearly a frequently used phrase on that phone.
Yeah. But it's kind of ridiculous because, again, who does this hurt the most? The people at the bottom of the food pyramid, right? The people who don't have a lot of options.
Mm.
Like, smart people are just going to go to the internet and they're going to find what they want online.
Yeah.
Like you would a great TV show, for example. You don't wait for something to come on TV anymore.
You're not going to hang out for that headline on the front of a magazine that says 60 ways to please your boyfriend in the bedroom. You're going to Google that shit and you're going to get a whole lot more value.
Oh, exactly.
But Cosmos are still good.
I don't know how they're still in business.
Other
than building a pile of paper.
Yeah, I mean, you put them in some doctor's reception room somewhere. There's a use for Cosmo, but otherwise,
but, you must never touch those because people that go to the doctor's cough in their hands. So don't ever touch those magazines.
Mm-mm. You want to see what 2019 has for you, written in the stars, and 30 days and 30 different sex positions. Mm-mm-mm. That was always like one of their taglines.
All right, let's do something fun here quickly. This is always a great thing to do. Sia, we're going to do your horoscope for today.
Oh, yes.
What are we looking at here?
Written in the stars, Aquarius.
Oh, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. No. You don't know that one.
No,
do you know that
song?
One? Yes.
I know it.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Who's it by?
Oh, wow. Cosmopolitan actually has his own horoscopes page.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
When you type in horoscope, they've paid for the ad to be right at the top. This has got a horoscope.
Shame. Mm.
All right. So, Sia, do you want to know about love?
Sure.
Ooh. Since December of last year, Saturn, which has slipped into the shadow of your sign, is sounding like the death knell of the past, which has tasked you, Aquarius, with closely examining and exploring it. Blah, 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 blah. This is such shit.
You can't even make it through reading that.
For all, Jupiter will promote you to aspire to open hatches and embark on new adventures.
Oh.
No more limiting yourself and living in conditions that seem mediocre.
Ooh.
Instead, it's about spreading your wings, Sia, and expanding without further delay your horizons. The opportunity in 2019 to meet new people, make new friends, and count on the support of your faithful ones to go ahead. Isn't that nice? Sia, you've got adventure on the way.
Open my wings.
Well, seeing as it is actually the age of my star sign, the Sagittarius, let's have a look at me.
It is the age of Sagittarius.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the big hit as Sia's song. Someone you think is a friend may prove less than trustworthy today.
Dumb, dumb, dumb. Yeah,
I thought when I walked in here and Sia said something half baked to me, that was it. There are indications of deception all around you. All around you.
Yeah, they're...
All three of you are wearing dark clothing and I'm in a white shirt. I can see this. See, this horoscopes don't lie.
So accurate.
Perhaps someone is keeping something from you or telling outright lies.
Mm.
Don't be too suspicious of anyone, but check the facts of a situation before you take someone's word for anything. It's always best to do it anyway. Yeah, no shit. That's like every day of my life.
All right, give us Leanne's one, Ben.
Gemini.
Give us Leanne's.
Hang on, I've got to rub the ball first.
Rub the balls.
I've got to rub the ball to get the horoscope out.
Oh my gosh, I don't want it if it's coming out of there.
Gemini.
All right, let's
okay,
go.
Come on, go.
Here's Leanne's. This is her
today. Yes. So urgent.
Yeah.
Today you might get the feeling that someone in your family is hiding something.
Ooh,
there's the world conversation.
Boy.
The atmosphere might be strained and somewhat tense, Leanne. Oh, it's got your name as well. Your natural inclination is to try to spread oil on troubled waters to return the situation to normal. Gemini, but this isn't likely to be the right course of action here. Let things ride. Whoever is hiding something isn't likely to reveal it.
Well, now, this is odd because my mom's also Gemini. We were on the same day, actually. And we had a bit of a tiff.
Your mom gave birth to you on a birthday?
Yeah, it was best 25th birthday present ever.
It's amazing. That's not in your stars. Carry on, though.
Okay, so what do you think of your horoscope?
So you had a bit of a tiff. And do you think you guys are going to reveal something to each other?
Maybe.
Ooh, big revelation.
Someone's been keeping secrets.
How about my horoscope? Let's see what I've got.
Well, what is it?
Virgo.
All right, Virgo.
Virtuous Virgo.
Right, today.
Rub the balls.
Today, Virgo. No, it's already on my screen. I don't have to rub anything for this one.
No.
Today, right. Virgo, you probably aren't going to feel very friendly.
Oh.
You most likely want to sequester yourself at home and not see or speak to anyone.
But that's me every day.
I know.
This thing is so accurate.
Stars do not lie, Gareth.
It is so accurate.
If your need for solitude is that strong,
yes,
indulge it.
Okay.
You won't do yourself any good by forcing contact with others.
Right.
You might feel a little out of sorts physically, so especially important to eat right and get lots of vitamin C.
Wait.
You're going to lie at home in a bag of oranges, just eating and eating.
That's great. That's me every other day.
That's really spot on.
See, these things are true. I knew there'd be someone who it really hit home on.
Thank you, astrocenter.com. Insightful guidance.
All right. Very good. Isn't that nice? Huh. All right. Here's some messages. Hi, everyone. The girls in the office often tell me there are so many free things in the Cosmo Mag, it's worth the money, like lipsticks. They give vouchers to big fashion websites. Do they?
Yeah, sometimes.
Smart.
All right.
You got to lure the kids to the candy at some stage.
Michelle says, I love this platform. Every time I message, it's as part of the conversation. Not to hear it read for my own edification. And then Gareth, it's very ignorant of you, says someone, to assume most people stay in their jobs because they're paid well. Did I say that? I don't remember saying people stay in their jobs because they paid well.
What conversation was
that? I'm trying to think, because when we were talking maybe about the fact that people are on a bit of a go slow in December.
Or maybe it was something on Friday's show.
Yeah, I think it was from last week.
Last week we spoke about?
Wow, that's so important, last week.
Okay. I, myself included, stay in my job because there is a shortage of jobs in South Africa. Well, that's an even worse reason to stay in a job than because you're paid well. Because you're scared of not having a job at all. I mean, it's sensible. It's very practical what you're saying, but it's a much worse motivation for getting up and going to work every day. I think that's very sad. This weekend, my Twitter account got suspended because I tweeted some choice forgot about Dre lyrics to City Power. I really wasn't planning on killing them and their loud ass motherfucking barking dogs.
Wow.
Twitter didn't like that.
No, Twitter did not. So they banned you. Wow, Sean, that's terrible. And then we've got Anthea coming in a little bit later on. Some people excited about hashtag invest and the competition that we've got on there at the moment. More about that later. Yes, who wanted to say something?
If you want, I will say something.
No, your turn's coming.
Sure, okay. Well.
First, let's get to the five things you need to know today, shall we? Are you excited?
Let's do it.
I'm so excited.
Five things you need to know. Let's start with number...
five.
Five, all right, number five, because you want to go backwards this morning. So, Pravin Gordhan has slammed Eskom, the Guptas and state capture. Don't know if you heard about this.
I think we're joining him in that.
Yes. Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan says the country's lost billions of rands through corruption and irregular... You don't say, Pravin. Irregular spending money which could have been used to improve millions of lives. He was speaking at a commemoration ceremony for the late struggle stalwart Lalu Chiba at the West Park Cemetery yesterday. Last month, he testified at the Zondo Commission and he placed former President Jacob Zuma at the center of corruption. The minister has applauded the late struggle stalwart for his commitment to the struggle. He used the opportunity to lash out at the Guptas, again accusing the family of capturing state-owned enterprises like Eskom and Transnet. He used Transnet's overpriced carriages as an example of how money was being misspent.
Sorry, was that just referencing the struggle as in the current struggle?
No, he was talking about the past struggle where there was still nobility.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He says the money could have been better used on building houses and upgrading infrastructure. Damn right, Pravin. That's your people. That's your ANC. You were part of that whole mess. Don't you try to wash your hands of it. You sat idly by while all of this was going on. You and everyone else in cabinet. And even if you did have your misgivings, you certainly didn't say it. We had those grannies over on Bayers Nordia going, Zuma must go. Zuma must go. Zuma must go. What were you doing, Pravin, sitting in cabinet going, I don't really like this, but I haven't got the spine to stand up for myself and say something.
I'm staying in my job because it pays well and not a lot of other jobs in this country.
Thank you very much. All right, load shedding. You want to know what's going on over there? Since Pravin came up, we may as well refer to load shedding.
Was anyone load shed over the weekend?
Load shedding seemed to be at an all-time low this weekend.
Yeah.
That kind of let us off.
The country managed to avoid stage two load shedding on Sunday, but Eskom reiterates the need to watch our power usage rather closely for months to come. Now, I don't understand what the problem is here. For starters, it seems to me, and various sources are starting to come to the fore now that are saying that there's plenty of coal. That's a ruse.
Huh.
Yeah. And in fact, if you go to Richards Bay and you watch the ships going off to China being loaded to the brim with high quality coal that's being sent away, we've got loads of coal in this country, and prioritizing our own country, our own economy, and the use of that coal for our own power stations should be on the government's agenda.
Gareth, do you still think that we own our resources?
No, of course not. But we can fight this fight we can win.
Coal going to China, coal going home.
Yeah. Well, Pravin went and spoke to them at Eskom the other day, and then suddenly, voila, no more power outages. I think they're just trying to squeeze us. They're trying to get us to pay for an increase.
That's what Helen was saying on Twitter. There's more to this.
The thing is, every time it goes out, I just think positively about the money that I'm saving.
But are you, though? That's the problem. Because I reckon these dick bags are still billing you.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think they're still billing you. And it was nice.
No, I'm on prepaid, so.
On Thursday last week. Oh, okay. That's clever. On Thursday last week, my power went out between 7 and 9 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. Do you know how quiet and lovely it was, actually? I mean, I know. I'm just trying to find the silver lining, if there is anything.
Well, yeah, it's cool. It's cool for Virgos.
Yeah. No, but you know how.
Stay at home.
I was lying in my my TV room, and I was just listening to the. There were a couple of birds chirping outside in the early evening, and then it was just dead quiet. And there were no lights. It's actually kind of a bit of a meditative break from the craziness. Yeah? We get into a bit of a rut, and all this electronic stuff is going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a hum, you know? Anyway, then something on the Khashoggi case. Saudi Arabia's foreign minister on Sunday ruled out the extradition of suspects in the murder of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi after Istanbul's chief prosecutor filed warrants for the arrest of two former senior Saudi officials. Turkish officials said last week that the prosecutor's office had concluded there was a strong suspicion that a dude called Saud al-Qahtani, who's a top aide to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and General Ahmed al-Asiri, who served as deputy head of foreign intelligence, were among the planners of Khashoggi's killing at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. "We don't extradite our citizens," Saudi Foreign Minister Abdel al-Jubeir was saying when he was asked about the arrest warrants. He was speaking in a news conference in Riyadh. Now, the Saudi prosecutor said in order to repatriate Khashoggi, I mean, this is amazing. There's an order to repatriate him, right? It came from a Syrian. A travel ban has been imposed in Qahtani. Jubeir declined to confirm whether or not the men were currently detained, referring to the question of the Saudi public prosecutor. They just have different rules there for themselves and everyone else. But what did you expect from a tin pot state like that? It really is. Just because they got money doesn't mean they're smart.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that place is as much an autocracy as a medieval kingdom ever was. And then this is interesting. In Durban, 22 people have already died on KZN's roads.
Oh, no.
That's just in one day on Saturday. One accident on the N2 near Empangeni, claiming 15 lives alone. You know, these, just please, if you're going to go anywhere, and we spoke about this with my car going in for a service last week, and just please be very careful on the roads. And it's nobody's, it's not government can do nothing about this. This is you. And obviously you can't even do everything because some other driver does something stupid.
Yeah, but there's also the issue of roadworthiness, which is huge.
You mean cars?
When it comes to buses.
Oh, big time. Buses, trucks, cars, taxis.
Yeah, taxis that drive like crabs because their chassis is so skew.
Yeah. It's very dangerous. So please look after yourself if you are going to drive anywhere on holiday in the next couple of days. And be extra alert because you know some people are just stupid. Some people are drunk. Some people are stupid. Some people don't care. So there we go. Five things you need to know today. Let's turn our attention to Ben. First, a quick glance at the cryptocurrencies. Ethereum is now under $100 per Ether. 93.1,
that's come
to
up
be
then.
Precise. And Bitcoin at $3,577. Ben, what do you have?
Blitzbox comes short again in Cape Town. Cape Town Blitz secure top spot in Mzansi Super League. And Man City, they finally lost in the league. Yep, just like last year, heartbreaking loss for the Blitzbox in the semi-final of the Cape Town Sevens.
But everybody dressed up and had a happy day out, so that's all that matters.
That's all that matters, really.
Nobody really cares about the rugby.
But of course, this is the Sport Report with me, Ben Karpinski, not the social dress-up getting drunk report, so I shall return to the fixtures. They beat Scotland in the quarters, then they lost to Fiji in the semis.
Oh.
Did they? Sure, they did, of course. Fiji went on to win, and they beat the United States in the final, 29-15. And in the Blitzbox, they beat the New Zealanders 10-5. So they got bronze. If nothing else, they got bronze, which is still a medal, and it's points. But, you know, they just can't seem to win this one. They really do battle in the home leg. So a bit of a slow start, seeing as they did so badly in Dubai, but they'll bounce back. It's still a good team, and yes, they were suffered a few injuries in the tournament itself. But there's still lots of quality, and this is still a great Blitzbox team. Into football. Yeah, Man City. Big, high-flying Man City. They lost to Chelsea 2-0 away. Yeah, unfortunately, the match was marred by what seemed to be an alleged racist incident against Raheem Sterling.
Oh, no.
The fact this is still going on in football is really sort of just diabolical. There's some horrible pictures going around of just these horrible yobs just shouting at Sterling. He's like, it's so frustrating. You see these kind of things popping up on social media. Like, why do people hate players so much? Like, why do they go to the game just so they can shout and hurl abuse at people? Why have we devolved to such this?
I don't know.
It's just sad.
It seems to me like a really crap way to spend your day, being racist. I mean, there are so many other things you could do with your time, but you've decided to waste that time being racist.
Yeah, has anyone ever been so depressed in life the doctor's like, you know what, if you would just go and be racist for a couple of days, you'll feel right as rain. No one's ever said that, because it doesn't make you... makes my blood boil, it really does. Liverpool, though, they stay on track and on top of the league after beating Bournemouth 4-0. Arsenal had a good win against Huddersfield, 1-0. And Man United, look at that, they scored a whole bunch of goals, 4-1 over Fulham. So they're excited again. Good for them. Baroka FC, they won the Telkom Knockout Cup. It was heartbreaking for the Orlando Pirates fans, who were the other team in the final. So they lost in penalties, 3-2. Baroka winning in penalties after beat 2-2 after extra time. In the Mzansi Super League, well, the Cape Town Blitz cannot be caught. They lost over the weekend, but that's fine because the Jersey Stars lost as well from their perspective. Now, the Jersey Stars did have two games in hand. They got yesterday's game and then Tuesday's game. If they were to win both games, they could have got to the top, but not to be for them. So, Cape Town Blitz, they will get the home final. Happy days for them. And when you think about it, it's been the most supported of all the grounds in all the matches so far. There's been some pretty piss-poor crowds, to put it lightly, but the Cape Town fans have come out, they've really embraced the league, and they do deserve the final. So they'll take place this Sunday, and they'll take on the match of whoever finishes second and third in the group. So there's a big match coming up on Tuesday. If you are in the Joburg area, I'm going to this, I'm very excited about this, the Spartans versus the Jersey Stars. Oh. Now, the Spartans still have an outside chance, and I mean a real outside chance, of getting into that third spot. And of course, AB de Villiers is in this team. It's a star-studded team. But in front of them, they have the Paul Rocks, who are 1 point ahead of them on the log, and the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants. The Spartans, of course, have two games left. All the other teams have one game. Cape Town Blitz are done, but they are hosting the final. Another cricket news, India are touring Australia and they are just moments away from their first test win there in 10 years. They scored 250, Aussies matched it with 235, then they scored 307 to the visitors, and now currently the Aussies are 270 for 9. They need 53 runs to win, and all they've got is Hazelwood and Lyon at the crease. So going to go with no. Louis Oosthuizen, he won huge over the weekend. Now this guy hasn't won in 3 years, but he is South Africa's number one player. Number one golfer, and he won by 6 shots, which is a record equaling 6 shots for an SA Open triumph. He's now one of 4 South Africans to have won the Open Championship and the SA Open. Those are the 2 oldest tournaments in the entire world. And, well, Oosthuizen was pretty faultless, really. He started out with a 62 on the Bush Willow course at Rand Park, which is the easier of the two. So if you'd ever play Rand Park, you see a lot of the drunken old members play Bush Willow because it's much shorter and easier. But then the Firethorn course is a little bit harder. So the weekend's play on the SA Open, just like the Joburg Open, it goes on to the more sort of championship of the two courses on the property. And, guys like Schwarzl went backwards. And no one could ever just really keep up with this season. So he is 18 under in the end. And it's a good return to form because this guy is just, the potential is there. I mean, we saw when he won the Open Championship, also by a huge margin. He's been good. He is SA's top-ranked golfer, as I've said, but just hasn't ever realized his potential. I know that sounds quite mean, but when you're as good as this guy, you've got to have, you know, a wake-up call like that. He's played under potential for so long. Some people say he doesn't give a toss and he just wants to drive a tractor, which might be his thing. But if you just think, this talent can somehow just get the opportunities and go forward, then this guy's a complete and utter world leader. He really is. So, win by 6 shots.
A world leader.
I think he's great. He really is. Because he's got that sort of easy temperament where nothing overly doesn't really faze him. He's got the most incredible golf swing. And it'd just be nice to also have a South African golfer to cheer and shout about. I mean, Brandon Grace was the guy the last time close to the world top 10. He's now outside of the top 50. So it's a bit sad, really. With all the great golf courses, all the great golfers that we have in this country that no one's really challenging time and time again. What else really happened in sport? Not a lot. I gotta say, not a lot. Things are starting to wind down there. And the sevens, as Gareth pointed out, was more about the piss-up than the actual rugby. So if you did enjoy that, then awesome. Because that's what sport is. It makes everyone feel happy. It gives everyone a chance to come together and be friends and be happy. say that again. Happy, not racist. That's how we look at sport. Anthea's here. She has a plaster on her finger.
Her middle finger.
A bandage.
What have you been doing?
It's her middle finger. How rude.
Good morning, guys. I had a little operation on my finger. I had a synovectomy.
A what?
Ooh. I had some trauma to the joint, the end joint of my finger.
What did you do?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
I mean, some trauma you should know about.
Well, so it wasn't a sudden thing. It was something that you just noticed.
The doctor said it could have been a month ago. It could have been
She was playing in the sevens over the weekend.
Anthea was fighting so hard to get to the bar at the sevens that she ends up sticking her finger in some woo girl's face. And this is where she is.
That's what you get for it.
That's who she is, actually, in life.
All right, what else, Ben?
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then it is Anthea's turn. So let's give her a song and let's get going.
I mean, I could try and give you more, but I'd be scratching.
No. I don't think we'd hate when you're scratching, Ben.
She works hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money. So you better treat her right.
That's right. Here she is, Anthea Gardner. It's time for The Money Shot, which is brought to you this week by Easy Equities, who have a fantastic competition on the go, which you could participate in. You could sign up today and start investing. Start doing something positive and growth-inducing with your money. I mean, investing is something Anthea has spoken about a million times. But this morning, we have a special competition on. There's 5,000 Rand up for grabs at the end of it for the person who manages to trade effectively during the next couple of weeks.
And makes the highest return, right?
That's right.
Up until the middle of January.
That's right. So if you want to know more, go to cliffcentral.com and you can find out all the other important info about Easy Equities and how to invest with hashtag invest.
We had a nice little one last week, didn't we?
Well, you could start off by boasting. I wasn't gonna let you do this, but what the hell. So Anthea said yesterday, her hot tip was Naspers was looking very strong, and she said I would buy some of that this morning.
And the share opened 6% higher last week. So that was very exciting. Have you guys decided what shares you're buying? Or do you not get to play?
I don't get to play.
Oh,
no. And in any case, you don't want my advice because I've done nothing but give people shit advice for a whole year.
Yeah. I mean, so generally, I must admit, the market last week started higher. You know, so Naspers was closed 4.5% higher, but the actual market closed 2% higher. And it really was all about the G20 and President Trump and President Xi Jinping shaking hands and agreeing that they weren't going to take this trade war any further. And then on Tuesday, guess what happened?
They took the trade war further.
Trump tweeted. The market went crazy. Last week, the market was like the market was in shock. They didn't know what to do. I mean, he has a new one, right? Make America rich again.
Yeah. Well, when you're great, what's the next thing you do?
Rich.
Become rich. Yeah. And he's insisting that China and all the other trade partners buy more goods from the US, which I guess is true, but you know, anyway.
Right. Well,
I'll own about him forever, and I don't really want.
Give us a hot tip for this week. putting you under pressure now.
That is under pressure because there are hardly any results coming out, and we did have some great GDP numbers, and it is Christmas. So I would say one of the local shares, probably the retailers or the banks. I'm a particular fan of First Rand. So there's no immediate catalyst like there was last week with the US-Sino trade war talks or dampening. But I would say, yeah, for the next couple of weeks.
Retail,
or even the local banks. Like, I really like First Rand, and they're doing a great job. So that's a
share. All right,
let's
see how that goes.
It seems also to be kind of the positive bellwether for the stock market, First Rand, as opposed to kind of negative.
All right.
Yeah, so last week, the market under a lot of pressure, and there was a lot of talk about what we call the inverted yield curve. And I do want to talk a little bit about that because we hardly ever talk about bonds, and I love bonds. So what it is if you lend someone money, they will pay you an interest rate, and in this case, the bonds are either governments or corporates, right? Mm-hmm. The normal yield curve, if you is basically a plot of time versus your return. So if I lend you money short term, I, let's say, can expect a return of, I don't know, what are the banks paying these days?
6%. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay. So that's, let's call it for a year, right? If you,
by the way, it's a lot better than you get for a, from a bank in the US.
Oh, by far.
And in most of Europe.
I mean, I think in the US, real interest rates must be flat or negative because inflation is what? 3%?
Something
and
like that.
And you're getting paid 2%. So that's a negative return of 1%, basically.
Right.
So you're going to lose money effectively. Your spending power decreases. Okay, so back to the yield curve. So if I lend you, you meant money short term, you'll pay me, let's say, 6%. If I lend it to you long term, because I'm taking more risk that you're on my return, I want a higher interest rate. So I should get, let's say, an 8 or 9%. So the South African government bonds at the moment are, the 10 years, about 9%. Repo is 6.5%. So if you plotted it, really, it would be an upward slope, right? And that's a normal yield curve. Now, what happens when the yield curve inverts is that your longer-term interest rates decrease and your shorter-term interest rates, kind of, well, they pretty much stay the same, but you've got a negative slope, so the slope's going down. That's called an inverted yield curve. Now, all that explanation, just to tell you that it is all drama in the stock market when the yield curve inverts, when it slopes downwards, because it's a sign that investors or traders are moving from equities into bonds. And the more long-term bonds you buy, the lower the yield, basically. So the higher the price, the lower the yield. And I'm not even going to bother getting into that. Just take my word for it.
All right.
And so last week, the US yield curve inverted, and it is all panic. I mean, the investors are just running for the hills, basically. They're getting out of shares and getting into bonds. Normally, hate to say this, but it is a sign of recession when the yield curve inverts. And of course, when that happened last week, everyone was screaming recession. Now, can I just tell you, let me give you an example here. This market, the one thing about the stock market, it always overreacts. In 2005, the US yield curve inverted and everyone was calling a recession. Of course, it only happened 3 years later. But the point is, it is an indicator that there's a risk off trade, that people are taking money away from risk, and we call shares risky assets. And that's all it is, really. So we saw the market come down. I think one day it was down 3%, another day it was down 2%. So it was a horrible week last week.
Hang on, because I'm getting mixed signals here. I've heard we're not in recession anymore because there was that 2.2% growth that everybody was all excited about just a few days ago.
Yeah. Okay, so the US yield curve.
And then I'm
curve,
hearing from you this could be the indicator of an early recession.
So the US yield curve is a sign of global recession. And if you drill down to South Africa, yes, we had our GDP numbers last week and we grew by 2.2% in the third quarter. So yes, we're out of recession, but that doesn't mean we can't go back into it. Yeah. So that's kind of a lots of mixed signals. Welcome
Thanks.
To my world, actually.
You're not helping me here. I'm trying to understand, and you're not helping.
I don't know what else to tell you other than South Africa grew a little bit last quarter, and yeah, things are looking good.
All right.
So we had the yield curve inverting last week, which was the US yield curve inverting, which is a problem. And then also we had Canada arrest the Huawei CFO and daughter of the founder, Meng Wanzhou.
Meng Wanzhou.
For violations of sanctions against Iran.
Yeah.
China is now demanding her release. And the US are saying no, but she violated trade sanctions. And so guess what? China-US trade wars are back on the table.
Oh, God.
And of course, what happens then is that the world gets nervous, or investors and analysts and traders get nervous. And so they run away from equities again. So no surprise really that the yield curve inverted, quite frankly. I think that's a big one. And you know, I mean, away from the market a little bit, there's a lot of talk about what's going to be the catalyst for World War III. And every time something like this happens, I think investors just get nervous. And then of course the oil price falls because we think there won't be demand for oil. People stop buying things, stop buying shares. So it's kind of like this horrible negative merry-go-round at the moment.
All right. Thanks, Anthea. You're making us feel great. Monday's hard enough, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Anything going on in that Steinhoff, the Steinhoff-versary. This is the great moment, everybody, where you get to celebrate, for many South Africans, losing a whole lot of your money if you were invested in Steinhoff.
Okay. Do you want to know how much money you lost? In April 2016.
Yeah, go on. Make us feel good.
April 2016, Steinhoff was a 95 Rand share.
Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Okay. Right. Well, I don't know about happy anniversary, but and then a year ago, on the 5th of December, it was a 45 Rand 65 Rand share. The next day, it was a 17 Rand 61 Rand share. It is currently below 2 Rand. Well done, Marcus Juster.
Is he going to jail anytime soon?
Everybody's asking that question. I mean, sure. I'm desperate to read Rob Rose's new book because apparently it's kind of quite a telling saga of exactly what happened and who and what and how. Because I think I still don't know, to be honest. And one of the reasons the share fell again last week, it was down, I want to say 21% at one stage last week on its anniversary.
Yes.
Because the company said that they were going to delay their 2017-2018 financial results again, and that PwC still have not finished their forensic audit.
Oh, they take a long time.
So they basically, PwC are saying there's a lot more to this than we thought. So it's horrible. It's an absolute mess.
All right.
I mean, it's such a difficult one, right? Because remember, I don't know if you do remember, more than a year ago, when speculation started on this, I was going, oh, but it's such a great growth company. They're always growing. They're showing us great numbers. But the one thing I didn't know was that this man was lying to us.
Lying.
Flat out lying.
Oh, Anthea, it's the lying I find so difficult.
It's just so disappointing.
That's the stuff I can't quantify. Don't make fun of me.
All right, and then you want to quickly mention Group 5?
Yeah, so Group 5 is an engineering company. They fell 40% on Thursday because they're working on a Ghanaian power plant, and the Ghanaian company, Kopane, says that they're going to sue them for $60 million.
Good Lord.
Because they haven't finished the power plant. And they just moved away. Group 5, of course, are saying, well, actually, no, you said that everything was okay, and so it was fine. We left it. So I see a legal battle coming on here. And it's not like they're in the best sector of the economy either, right? It's not like we're growing.
No, construction's not great.
There you go. That's it. Right. And so that was the big thing. From now on, I think there's very little kind of company-specific news going to happen because, well, everyone's shutting down for holidays.
All right, and then you've given us a tip already, but we've just got to remind people, if you want to join up with hashtag invest and day trade, as it is, because this is the whole point of this little game that we're doing, over the next few weeks and before the end of January, you have the chance to pick a couple of stocks, see how much you can do in terms of making the best investments over the next few weeks. If you win, we'll throw in an extra 5,000 Rand, I think it is.
That's right, in one of our hashtag invest portfolios.
So go ahead, and if you haven't done this before, remember you can get in for as little as, what, a couple of Rand?
Well, you can actually get in for nothing, because if you go and log on, they will give you a demo account.
Ah.
And then so you don't have to spend any of your money, and then trade and then go in and win.
So there we are.
Of course, the smart thing to do would be to trade your own money and to make some money, but you don't have to.
Yeah, because if you really do well, you're going to kick yourself for not having done it for the real.
Yeah. Well, go in and use their money. That's Easy Equities. Go and find out more by going to cliffcentral.com, and we'll put all the information up there for you. Thank you, Anthea.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Look after your middle finger there. Don't know what you
did. It's an important finger.
That's right. You need to use that middle finger to tell everybody exactly how you feel about them. So don't let that get any worse than it already is. Sia, what do you got for us in Said by Sia?
This morning's story is a reason why I love and so believe in the simple quote, do what you can with what you have whenever you can. We know how we've been inundated with all of these stories about the California fires a few weeks ago. Well, a group of homeowners in the California areas who were actually in the process of selling their homes are doing exactly that. They're doing what they can with what they have where they are. Because these people, and in particular, this residential developer, Karen Karim, I know, talk about that.
That's a great name.
Karim has said, well, I've sold my home. I'm not living in it right now because she and her family have moved out. So in the meantime, I'm opening it up to fire victims who can actually make use of it in a better way. To the point where Karen has actually spoken to the people who have bought her home and said, listen, I know this might be a little icky and iffy to ask, but would you mind moving in Jan? Because right now there are fire victims who need this home more than you and I might. And actually the new owners have agreed. So there've been a group of families who've been in and out of Karen's home over the past few weeks. One particular family is...
Karen Karim?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you know her?
Sounds like a spice or something.
No.
Add some Karen Karim.
One particular family, Melissa.
Ylang Ylang.
So nice to say it twice. Melissa, her boyfriend, and three daughters were actually able to have a roof over their heads and a stable place to live over Thanksgiving weekend. And we know how important Thanksgiving is to Americans. And they say they're so grateful for something like this. And they've had so many people, you know, people with pets, people with young kids, yes, who otherwise would have to, you know, just be moving from shelter to shelter or from family member to family member. But because of Karen's generosity and so many other people who are saying, I'm actually not living in the house. It's just standing there vacant right now. It's convenient, so why not? And so many people are thankful for that. So to the likes of Karen and so many other homeowners
who
are
Karen Karim.
Yes.
Yep. That's the one.
And similar homeowners are doing exactly what they can with what they have, wherever they are. And I think that's a lesson we can all learn,
yeah, hugely,
and apply in our lives.
I think if I was involved in a major disaster like that, a really good place to be is in amongst the American community. They really seem to rally around. I know we do too. I mean, you think about the fires that we have in the Cape.
People do. They come together and we do things for each other.
Yeah.
We just really have to be pushed to the brink.
We do.
Then suddenly.
Whereas here there are people saying, I own this house, but use it for free.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's awesome. All right, that's what you said by Sia for this morning.
Very good. Thank you, Sia. All right, loads of good stuff on the way this morning. We've got a busy day. Oh, it's going to be jam-packed. We're also going to meet a South African artist who has achieved a level of success in the international art world that you could only dream of if you're an artist. He's attracted the interest of curators, gallery owners, collectors, and established artists from all around the world, so you'll get to spend a bit of time with him at 7:30 this morning. Very interesting guy. So don't go anywhere. And I found some old school for this morning. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I love the words to this song. This is just amazing. You'll know who she is straight away because, you know, I'm obsessed with her. And I think there's some kind of connection that I have to this woman. But here she is. Tina Turner. Oh. Listen to these words. Love it.
This is CliffCentral.com.